Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, a little bit louder, good morning, everyone. All right, and real quick, everybody online, good morning. We can't hear you, but we know you're there, and we're glad you're with us. All right, so we, this morning, very interesting moment. I had to check something in my email, and I opened up my web browser or whatever, and like the big caption that was online was, you know, something about, you know, comedian in monologue on Saturday Night Live splits the audience in two, and people turned it off, and it was controversial and whatever. I'm like, okay, I didn't even go into the article and read it and see what it was all about. I'm not saying you should necessarily do that. I don't even know what the issue was or whatever, but I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the way things are rolling in our society these days. It doesn't matter. There's all kinds of splits and divisions. And that's why we're doing, not because of the comedian, but that's why we're doing this series called Split. Because there are so many divisive issues that are going on around us these days that cause rifts and chasms among people, right? So it's red versus blue, it's blue versus black, it's mask versus anti-mask, it's stand tall or take a knee, right? These issues can drive wedges between people. And that's not surprising in our culture and in our society. But it can also drive a wedge between us as followers of Jesus, even though these issues are not central and sometimes even completely unrelated to what it means to follow Jesus. And it's not just that these things are issues in general. I've seen it happening in people's lives. Right? People saying and doing things that could fracture their marriages, hurt their relationships with their kids. Right? Leaders arguing with each other using words and tones that shouldn't be coming from like any Christian's mouth or keyboard, right? Friends and family literally going at it with one another on Facebook over some issue they disagree about. And not only is it destroying their relationship with each other, but then it's being put on display for like the whole world to see. As Christians, we are often letting the issues of our world separate us when many of these issues have little or nothing sometimes to do with following Jesus. And that's the kind of thing that was going on in Corinth. Right? They were divided and torn. They were split over things that should not have been tearing them apart. And that's why Paul writes the letter that he does. We began last week with looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. That was our focus. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or in your Bible app, we're going to be looking at just a couple of more passages from 1 Corinthians today, so feel free to follow along. I'll read them for you, but they won't be all up on the screen. But the first one is, because it's pretty central to this split series that we're talking about, and it's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. And it says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters," implying that as well, "in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." Right? I'm going to read that one more time. "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." And last week we began by just simply recognizing that God desires unity. He wants there to be no divisions. The word is schismas. It's this idea of tears in a fabric. He wants there to be no tears, no division. He wants us to be united. And that word is talking about being perfectly knit together as one. Our key idea last week was this, that unity demands more of me than gaining a majority. Unity demands more of me than gaining a majority. Just a little recap. When it comes to us as followers of Jesus, winning is not a high enough goal. Right? Just having more people aligned with your side of the issue is not what God wants us to be striving for. He desires unity. And that's much harder. Unity demands more of me than gaining a majority. Unity demands, first of all, more effort, right? Because it's really hard work to achieve it. Unity demands more character, right? Every passage that we looked at a bunch of them, but every passage that we looked at had on unity had a number of other characteristics that we should be incorporating into our lives, or that should be part of it as well. We got these bookmarks. If you didn't get one last week, they're at the back tables. And by the way, if you're at home, we do have them available. You can print them out just by going to the message on our online website through the Portico Media site, and there's a link there, so you can print one out. But you know, by the way, I don't know if you caught this or not, there's a bunch of phrases and words that reflect all the scriptures that we have, but some of you might have been going, yeah, I don't know, why are some things white and why are some things orange? If you turn it sideways, it says unity. All right, so just in case you missed that, wanted to point it out, because some people were like, oh, I didn't see that. All right, so unity, right? It demands a lot of us. It demands more character. There are lots of characteristics and qualities that we're supposed to have that create or go along with unity. And then the last thing was that unity demands more protection. Right? Like, the enemy wants nothing more than to tear God's church apart and his people apart, and we can't let him do that. Okay, so unity demands more than just gaining a majority. And that's just a quick summary, nutshell, of last week's message. But here's the thing about unity. You've got to be clear on who or what it is that you're united around. Right? You can't have unity if it's not clear who or what it is you're united around. And in 1 Corinthians 10, in this verse, Paul says, I appeal to you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I appeal to you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, Paul appeals on behalf of Jesus that we be united and knit together. But also, Jesus Christ himself is the who and the what that we're supposed to be united in. So God desires unity. Jesus is what and who we are united around, because Jesus is our identity, right? That's the main thought for today. Jesus is our identity, and we're going to flesh that out a little bit. Now, when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he was addressing this church that had divisions in it, and we're going to look at a couple of verses first that give us an idea or a picture of what he was dealing with. Okay, so taking it from verse 10, jumping into 1 Corinthians 1:11 through 13. He says, "For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" All right, we'll stop there. He goes on, but we're going to stop there. So some of the people apparently took a lot of pride in being a follower or disciple of certain individuals in those days. They were aligning themselves and identifying themselves with guys like Paul, Peter, and Apollos. Now, these were really notable individuals in the early church who believed the same things about Jesus. Right? So it's not like these divisions are taking place over theological disputes. It's not that they didn't agree on the truth. In fact, in Acts, we read that Apollos is said of him that he was fervent in spirit, that he spoke and taught accurately concerning the things of Jesus. Okay, Peter and Paul, we know quite a bit more about them. God used them to reach large numbers of people, but also to write large chunks of the Bible. Okay, so these men, they were on the same page. These disputes or divisions weren't about theology. It was more like they were about personalities. Now, one of the things that people did in those days for entertainment, and we might go, that's about as good as it gets back then, but they would go listen to these speakers, these sophists, right? They were philosophers and speakers who made names for themselves by gathering large crowds, and they would, you know, gather them so they could hear them speak on various ideals and subjects. Like when you think of these guys, it's like Plato and Socrates, for instance, are among them. They weren't in that time frame. They were hundreds of years later, but that's the kind of thing that comes to mind. And these sophists would travel all over and had this kind of cult following wherever they went. They were also in competition with one another, right? To gain the most followers. The more people who followed you, the more successful you would be. So they were like modern day influencers, right? Well, that kind of mentality spilled over into the church, right? People were identifying themselves by the individual leaders that they were aligned with in the early church, right? I follow Paul. I align myself with Paul. Or I align myself with Peter. I align myself with Apollos. That's who I identify with. And then Paul says some just simply claimed, I follow Christ. Now that seems innocent enough, but I think you might agree that there are some times where we talk to some people who say something like that and we're kind of like, yeah, I'm not so sure that's what you're doing. You know, have you ever talked with that person who, you know, they won't listen to anything you have to say on that very same grounds? Like you might say, well, you know, I heard something that might apply to your life here. Like C.S. Lewis wrote this. Or Andy Stanley, I listened to a podcast and he talked about that. And their response is, well, I don't follow any of those people. I follow Christ. You can't convince them of anything because they follow Jesus, right? You can't win. Which really means they're just following themselves. These kind of divisions in Corinth, they weren't over theology issues, not primarily. It was over what we'll just call for the day secondary issues, right? And personality preferences. It was all secondary. Things that should not have brought division between them were causing a split. But Paul corrects them on this. So the next passage, if you want to look ahead in chapter 1 to verse 30, Paul says this, because of him, talking about God, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And so Paul says, all of you are in Christ because of what God did through him. So if you're going to take pride in anything, take pride in him. Boast in the Lord. And Paul is saying, look, don't be split because you follow this person and they follow that person. Don't be split over worldly ideals. God desires unity, and Jesus is where we're going to get that unity. He is who we are united around. Right? Jesus is our identity, or at least he's supposed to be. So here's a kind of our key idea, I guess, for today, is this. Unity must be built around our identity in Christ. Right? If we're going to have unity, it must be built around our identity in Christ. Identity is kind of a tricky thing, isn't it? Like we, as people, we're often trying to establish our identity apart from Jesus, like the Corinthians were. And it's exhausting if you think about it. Like, if your identity is as an athlete, right, you have to eat right and train right and work hard, and your goal is like to be the best at what you do. Your success in life is going to be determined by how you perform against the competition. I mean, yes, there's often egos involved, but also your self-esteem as well, right? Your self-worth. If your identity is as a musician, well, you've got to be talented, at least usually that helps. Anyway, not always. Let's be real about that, right? Don't have to always be talented to be popular. You have to keep up a certain image. You have to be able to either play or write the kind of songs that people want to hear, at least if you want to make it in the industry. And you are competing with so many talented people that haven't made it in that same business. Same thing if you're an actress, right? You have an image to keep up. You have roles that you're willing to play, or certain ones you'd be better at than others, but you're competing with a lot of talented people for a very small number of parts. Now, for people like those, for examples, their identity is often tied closely to how successful they are. Like, it's hard to separate that. It's hard work to establish your own identity when that's what you're striving for. It can be exhausting trying to get to where you want to be in life. And it's a very personal thing, right? It affects you deeply. Now, most of us would say, well, we aren't trying to make it in life as an athlete or as an actress or a musician, but we're all still striving to find and establish our own identities, oftentimes. We're wrestling with questions like this. Who am I as a person, really? What is it that I value? What do I really believe? What's my purpose? How am I going to live my life? What am I going to stand for? What am I going to fight against? And one of the main reasons that things get so heated these days is because we let the answers to those questions define us. They actually become our identity, at least to us. Like, this is who I am. This is my identity. I am a Republican. I am a Democrat. I support Black Lives Matter. I support Police Lives Matter. I believe everyone should wear a mask. I believe no one should have to wear a mask. I think I should stand for the national anthem and show respect for the flag. I'm all for someone taking a knee if they boycott because of their beliefs. Now think about those issues and what they stir up in you. When someone disagrees with our viewpoint, we can't let that stand, right? That's how we feel. We can't let that stand. We feel we have to fight back. Why? Because we've worked so hard to establish our identity. There's enormous pressure on us to achieve or build an identity for ourselves. It's not just an idea or a philosophy that's at stake. We feel like our very identity is being threatened and challenged. And here's the problem. As followers of Jesus, your identity, is it supposed to be rooted in any of those things? No. Your identity is rooted in Jesus. And that identity in Christ is very, very different. It's not an identity we should be striving to create. It's one that's given to us by Jesus. I read this quote and heard this interview about this, and it was from Tim Keller, respected author and pastor, and he said this: Christianity is the only identity that is received, not achieved. Right? Christianity, it's the only identity that is received, not achieved. Think about that. Because of what Jesus did, when I believe in him, I'm a new creation. I know God loves me forever. I'm adopted and brought into his family, and he loves me just like he loves Jesus. I'm forgiven. I am free. I'm made righteous in Christ, and so on and so on. That's what's given to us when we trust in Jesus, right? Christianity, the only identity that is received, not achieved. We have to be sure our identity is rooted in Jesus. It can't be based on some secondary worldly issue. And Paul had some, well, rather strong words about those in his day who were living that way. And if you want to move ahead to chapter 3, this is what he has to say. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you're not ready. For if you are still of the flesh, for you are still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human ways? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So there is neither he who plants or he who waters as anything, but only God who gives the growth. Right? And Paul says, like, these divisions that are going on among you, they're evidence that we're still being fleshly and worldly. We're acting like babies who need milk, not mature adults who can take solid food. It's like Paul is telling them, don't get all worked up about the things that aren't important. That's not your identity. Be focused on Jesus, who is. Okay, last passage. Skip ahead if you can to verse 21 in chapter 3. And Paul says this, so let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. You are Christ's and Christ is God's. Like, you belong to Jesus. That's your identity. That's your identity. Now, I want us to think for just a couple of minutes as what this often means for us, or maybe how this can challenge us on a couple of different levels personally. And I know that these have been questions that have been rattling around in my own heart, in my own mind, in regards to who I am in Christ. Because it affects us on a couple of different levels. Right, levels that we can take a look at that are probably going to be a good indicator of how much our identity is really rooted in Christ. And the first question that you can ask yourself is this, like, how are you treating others? Right? How are you treating others? So think about this. When you engage in an argument with someone about one of these secondary issues, what is it you're really doing to them? Well, you're confronting them. You're confronting their identity as a person. They feel attacked. I know I've felt that way when things come my way. Now, you may not think that's what you're doing. That might not be your intent. But it's what they're perceiving. It's what they feel. So we have to tread a bit carefully. Right? We don't want to turn someone away from Christ because of some secondary issue. You know, ask yourself, how are you treating others? What's going to be more relevant at the end of their life? What political party they aligned with in 2020? Or whether they align their heart with Jesus at some point in their life? Right? How are you treating others? I think we need to ask ourselves about that. The second level is this, how are you responding when others challenge you? Right? How are you responding when others challenge you? Are we getting worked up about these secondary issues? Are we feeling like our very identity is being threatened? If so, why? Why? Why do we feel the need to be so defensive about it? Because if it's truly a secondary issue that we're talking about, that's not where our identity is supposed to lie. So don't let your identity be rooted in worldly things, right? Not in a political party, not in a banner or a badge, not in a mask or a flag. Don't take pride or boast in those things. Remember what God's word says. You are in Christ Jesus. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Boast in the cross of Christ. Right? Your identity is supposed to be found and rooted in him. When you're secure in him, you're not going to be threatened or worked up by these secondary and worldly issues. Now, I say that easily. I know it's not that easy. Okay? I'm not telling you this because, like, oh, of course, that's the way. Like, man, this is a struggle, isn't it? mean, if it was easy, we wouldn't have to be talking about it. But that's what I want to challenge us with personally today. Our identity needs to be found and rooted in Christ. So how are we treating others? And how are we responding when others challenge us? Those are some things I want to challenge you to think about this week, personally, and to evaluate. Give it some thought. Give it some prayer. Wrestle with that a little bit. I want to close with this, and because this is ultimately about unity. Like, this has got to be our identity as a community as well. We are in Christ Jesus. We here today, we here listening online, watching at home, we are in Christ Jesus. We belong to Him. And so we're supposed to boast in Him. And when we have that perspective, look, that's the only way we're ever going to reach unity. Because He's the one that we should be united around. Now, I'm not saying as followers of Jesus, we are going to see eye to eye on everything. We aren't. And look, Paul and Peter had disagreements, right, that they had to work through. Talks about in Scripture, some challenges between them. I'm not advocating also that we just like throw out the truth so we can be united in a cheesy, hokey way. We can't do that either. I'm not suggesting that the controversial issues that are going on around us aren't important. Some of them are. But 1 Corinthians 1:10 tells us we should have the same mind, the same kind of understanding. And we'll dig deeper a little bit into that next week. But it's got to start with us recognizing that, first of all, God desires unity, and second, that Jesus is the one who our identity must be built around. Unity must be built around our identity in Christ. Think about this. The world will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Jesus said that. And yet we're often showing the world the exact opposite of what He wanted. We're letting the issues of the world be the things that separate us. Look, if we're going to fight, let's fight for something we should be fighting for. If we're going to fight, let's fight for unity in Christ. The things that aren't of central importance should not be splitting us apart as a people who are united in Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. We belong to Him. And He's the one we need to boast in. He's the one we need to make known. Let's close in prayer, and we're going to sing a chorus and a song together. Father God, thank You so much for the identity, the real identity that You give us in Christ. Thank You for what Your word tells us about who we are, what we have received when we put our faith and our trust in You, that we are Your children, ones who You love so deeply, that we've been brought into Your family, adopted in, and You love us like You love Jesus, that we have been redeemed, we've been bought back with a price, we have been rescued by You. We are being sanctified by You. You are conforming us into the image of Jesus. You are working on us in that. Because You love us and You have an incredible destiny in store for us. An eternity with You. You have given us so much through Jesus. It's all because of You. So help us to find our identity in that and to seek Jesus as the one who we are united around. Because all these other things are secondary, and sometimes they don't even matter in the grand scheme of things. Help us not to be tripped up by that, but to seek to have united hearts in Christ. Help us also to boast about who He is and what He has done. Because it's amazing, and the world needs to hear it. Thank You for making us one in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we belong to him. Thank you that he's the one we boast in. And God, in this next few moments, we want to take a moment of prayer through worship and just express that we desire for him to be made known. We lift this up before you.